أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. ما شاء الله ولا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله العلي العظيم. الحمد لله والثناء رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا ونبينا أبي القاسم المصطفى محمد، اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد وعجل فرج وعلى أهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين المأسومين المنتجبين، اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد وعجل فرجه، ولعنة الله على أعدائهم أجمعين. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. رب زدني علما وعملا والحقنا بالصالحين. اللهم أكرمنا بنور الفهم واخرجنا من الظلمات الوهم. وقال الله سبحانه وتعالى في قرآن المجيد وكتاب الحميد، أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، ولكل قوم حاد، اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد وعجل فرج. وقال علي بن موسى الرضا المرتضى عليهم السلام: لا تطلبوا الهدى في غير القرآن فتدلوا. اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد وعجل فرج. All praise and thanks to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who got us sated with the beautiful household of Hazrat Muhammad Mustafa. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad wa ajjal farajam. And he favored upon us and blessed us with the love of Amir al-Mu'mineen, Imam al-Muttaqeen Ali ibn Abi Talib alayhi salam. Allahumma صلي على محمد وآل محمد وعجل فرجهم. And he further favored upon us and blessed us with the best of the guides, with the best of the socio-political leaders, the progeny of Hazrat Muhammad Mustafa. اللهم صلي على محمد وآل محمد وَعَجِّلْ فَرَجَهُمْ. When we look at the Imams alayhim as-salam, the socio-political leaders appointed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through His Prophet Hazrat Muhammad Mustafa, Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad wa ajjil farajahum, when we look at them, when we look at their lives, when we look at how they guide us, the one thing which we can't ignore is their connection with Quran Hakim. The verse which I recited in the beginning, he says this, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم ولي كل قوم حاد. And for every nation, there is a leader, there is a guide. This is the Sunnah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is as per His wisdom, that when He created men, He made sure that they are not left on their own. He blessed them with an internal guide, prophet, that is intellect. And He blessed them with an external prophet, guide, in the form of the prophets of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then once the system of prophethood, it ended, He favored upon the mankind that He blessed them with those special, perfect socio-political leaders in the forms of Imams alayhim as-salam. It is a sunnah. He makes sure that the humans, they have all what needs to take them to the best of their potential. They have that guidance. And not only that they have that guidance, they have those guides who can help them in walking that path which the guidance is leading them to. That guidance which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blessed us with in the form of Quran Hakim, Furqan al-Majid, about which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the beginning of Surah Baqarah mentions this. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alif Lam Mim Zalika al-Kitabu La Rayba Fihi Hudan lil-Muttaqeen. This book, in it there is no doubt, it is guidance for the God-very people. In the previous majlis, we discussed what taqwa is, what are the benefits of taqwa, some of the aspects we were able to talk about them. And we said that this book, Quran Hakim, which has no doubt in it, it is guidance, it is hidayat for the muttaqeen people, for the God-very people. So there's a beautiful connection between guidance and taqwa, which Quran talks about at multiple places. Let's look at this beautiful hadith from Imam Ali ibn Musa Rada al-Murtada alayhi salam. He says this, La tatlabu al-huda fi ghayr al-Qur'an fatadillu. This portion of the hadith, I chose to recite it in the beginning of the majlis. Rayyan bin Salat, he asked Imam Rada alayhi salam that what is your opinion about Quran? What do you think of Quran? Imam alayhi salam, he said this, Kalamullah لا تجاوزه ولا تطلب الهدى في غيره فتدل. He said that Kalam Allah, Allah's words, which is Quran Hakim, don't go ahead of it. And don't seek guidance from other than Quran. And if you do that, you're going to be misguided. You're going to be led astray. Allahu Akbar. our guides who have this responsibility from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They are leaders in both our social and political lives. The real meaning of Imam is when you consider Imam as a socio-political leader, not just somebody who is going to guide you about how you're going to start your day, as in just doing some ahkam, some rituals for your personal life. No. Imam, he's your guide for both your social and political lives. That what should be your political view? What should be your social view on things? How you should live your life? Who you should accept as somebody who can govern upon you? Who you should follow? What path you should go on? What should be your political views? What should be your economical views? What should be your worldview in general? What should be your ideology toward this life? Imam tells you about this. And over here, Imam Rida alayhi salam is giving us a very beautiful principle. He's telling us that Kalam Allah, Allah's words, Qur'an-i Hakim, Furqan-i Majid, don't go ahead of that. Don't try to walk faster than Qur'an. Don't try to get ahead of Qur'an. Seek guidance from Qur'an. This is what Imam is saying. That means that if you want to develop a worldview, if you want to develop an ideology about how this world works, if you want to have a social or political view on something, don't go ahead of Quran. Don't seek guidance in this regard from other than Quran. What does it mean? It means that in every aspect of your life, whatever you seek to achieve, wherever you seek to move toward, seek guidance from Quran. If you want to have a certain political view, ask Quran-i Hakim, what should I believe in? If you want to have certain belief system, ask Quran-i Hakim. If you want to seek ahkam, ask Quran-i Hakim. If you want to know how to live your married life, ask Quran-i Hakim. If you want to know how to do tarbiyat of your children, how to raise your children, ask Quran-i Hakim. If you want to go earn bread and butter, ask Quran-i Hakim. If you want to support certain political figures or stances or point of views, ask Quran-i Hakim. Shall I stand in this line? Shall I follow this person? Shall I put in my efforts for this certain ABC person? Or no, I should rather stand against these people. I should rather stand against this political view. Ask Qur'an-i Hakim. And Imam is telling us very clearly over here. If you are going to seek guidance from other than Qur'an, you're going to be led astray. You're going to be misguided. General principle. Guidance, equals to Quran. Quran equals to guidance. Our guides, Ahlul Bayt alayhimus salam, we call them Quran and Atik, talking Quran. And we have been mentioning this. Ahlul Bayt alayhimus salam, Aima Ahlul Bayt alayhimus salam. When they speak, it is Quran. When they stay quiet, it is Quran. When they stand up, it is Quran. When they walk, it is Quran. When they fight, it is Quran. When they are at peace, it is Quran. They are Quran. Allahu Akbar. We have heard Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saying this very clearly. At that very special day when he had said, Man kuntu mawlah, fahada aliyun mawlah. Whoever I am master of, Amir al-Mu'minin Ali ibn Abi Talib salam, is master of that person. And the very same day, we know that Rasulullah had said something else as well. And what was that? He had said that, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, إني تارك فيكم الثقلين كتاب الله وعترتي. Certainly, verily, without any doubt, I am leaving behind two very important things. كتاب الله, Allah's book, which is Quran, وعترتي, and my أهل بيت, my itrat, my household. And we have heard this from our scholars growing up, that when Allah's Rasul, Hazrat Muhammad Mustafa, Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad wa adil farajum, he is talking about Quran and Ahl Bayt alayhi salam at the same time and calling them both something very important. Saqalain, to very heavy, in the meaning of very important things. That means they're equals. Whatever now Quran is going to give you, Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam are going to give you. Whatever Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam are going to lead you toward, Quran is going to lead you toward that. This is why Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he had said this. These two, Allah's book and my Ahlul Bayt alayhim as-salam, they are not going to get separate from each other until the day of judgment at the Hawza Qasr. And for people who ponder, there are beautiful signs in this hadith. It just shows that connection which is between Quran and Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam, it is so strong, it is so powerful, so staunch, that until you are witnessing Quran Hakim within you, you should know that the itrat is also present between you. If you're able to witness Quran Hakim, that means that somebody from the itrat, not just anyone, who could be like the Quran, who could guide like the Quran, who is infallible like the Quran, without any mistakes, is also present. And we know that. That is our Imam, Imam Mahdi Ajjalallahu Ta'ala Sharif. This Quran Hakim is very beautiful. Scholars have explained it in a very beautiful way, that Quran is guidance for the mankind. If you want to really benefit from it, you will have to become muttaqi, God wary. But in general, Quran is guidance for everybody. Muslims, non-Muslims, believers, non-believers, lovers of Ahl al-Bayt alayhi salam, people who don't recognize Ahl al-Bayt alayhi salam. It is guidance for all. But the further you move toward it, you will know that if you need to benefit from it in the best way possible, there's certain conditions. But regardless, Quran is guidance. And everybody can benefit from Quran. You don't need to be a scholar to benefit from Quran. You don't need to be a mufassir of Quran to benefit from Quran. Because Quran says this, أَفَلَا يَدَبَّرُونَ أَفَلَا يَعْقِلُونَ. Why don't they ponder? Why don't they use reasoning? أَفَلَا يَتَفَكُّرُونَ. Why don't they think? If Quran was something which only scholars, learned people, you knew Arabic very well, who knew morphology, who knew syntax, sarf and nahav, who knew all those tools necessary for understanding Quran, to be able to do tafsir of Quran, then why is Quran even inviting everybody to ponder on it, to think about it? Because Quran is beneficial for everyone, but obviously, for you to benefit from it in the best way possible, you'll have to meet the conditions. But regardless, for example, Quran has the verses of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Quran has the signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, those verses. We call them ayat, right? Signs. So we have Quranic verses, and then we have certain physical signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Verses of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this world. For example, water. When you look at water, there could be two ways of looking at water. One of them is very simple. You don't need to have any special qualification or any lab or any other knowledge. Just like a normal, ordinary person, you can look at water, that this is what water looks like. It does certain things. What is that? It cleans things. It purifies them. It is cold. When you thirst, you drink it. It quenches your thirst. You don't need any special knowledge. You don't need any special tools to realize this. Just anybody can realize this. And you all do. This is why we drink water. Because we realize that by drinking it's going to quench our thirst. This is why we use it to clean ourselves. Because we know that whenever something is dirty, if water interacts with it, it makes it clean, pure. But on the other hand, if somebody wants you to really go into the details of water, for example, they want to know what exactly water is. It's H2O. It's a combination of hydrogen and oxygen. If they really want to know the bonding between the hydrogen and oxygen, what kind of chemical bonding is between them, then they would need certain knowledge. Then they would need certain environment. For example, to know at what temperature water is going to start boiling. At what temperature water would start freezing. For that, they would need certain environment, maybe a lab, or certain previous knowledge of maybe chemistry or some of the other sciences. But just to understand what water does, they don't need anything. Same goes for the verses of Quran as well. If you look at the verses of Quran Hakim, you can benefit from it just by reading it. Just by reading a simple translation of Quran, you can learn a lot from Quran. Even if you have none of those tools which I mentioned earlier. For example, if you look at the story of Hazrat Musa alayhi salam and Hazrat Khazr alayhi salam, You don't need to know the knowledge of tafsir or Arabic language. Just by reading the translation, what you can learn? You can simply learn what should be the relationship between a teacher and a student. How shall a student interact with the teacher? Where shall the student needs to be patient and wait for the teacher to finish? You can learn from that story easily. You don't need any special tools. And it goes for a lot of the verses of Quran. There's specific certain verses, maybe you'll have to look into tafsir, okay? But in general, you can benefit from Quran. Quran Hakim, it is for everyone. Just read simple translation of Quran, think about it, what it is saying, and you can benefit from it. If you look at the life of Imam Rida alayhi salam, or any of the Imams, we would see that special connection between Imam alayhi salam and the Quran. Even though they are Quran and Natiq, even though they are someone who's completely living as per Quran, you will see them reading Quran, reciting Quran. Imam Rida alayhi salam, not only he would read Quran during the day, but even when he would go to bed, he would read Quran. One of the companions, Raja bin Abi Adhak, he narrates this, that during one of the traveling, he saw Imam Rida alayhi salam in his bed, reading Quran. And not only he was reading Quran, whenever he will read a verse of Quran which would talk about Jannat or Dozakh, heaven or hell, Imam Rida alayhi salam would start crying. And he would pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that, "Oh Allah, bless me with that heaven of yours. Bless me with those guidance and keep me safe from your hellfire." Allahu Akbar. Our Imams alayhimus salam, they had that special connection with Quran Hakim. They would read Quran Hakim in the best way, that whenever people would listen to the recitation, they would get attentive toward it. Not only they would read Quran, they would ponder on Quran. They're attentive toward Quran. Whatever they say is as per Quran. This is why we find in the Hadith Ahlul Bayt alayhimus salam, Imam Ja'far Sadiq alayhimus salam, that whatever reaches you, and it is associated with us, that is a hadith from Aima salam, match it with Quran. If it is in accordance with Quran, accept it that it is from us. And if it's not, it's as if just throw it on the wall, it has no worth. Quran Hakim is what Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam are all about. Alhamdulillah, being the followers of Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam, we had this tawfiq that we connect with Quran Hakim. We get to read it. Thanks to Aba Abdullah Al Hussein alayhi salam, our Mawla, we know that every single time we are going to go to one of the majalis, which are for remembering Aba Abdullah Hussain alayhi salam, we are going to hear some verse of Quran, some explanation from Quran. And the more we associate ourselves with Quran, the better we get. More and more we start connecting with Quran. In reality, we are connecting with Ahlul Bayt. The more and more we start acting upon Quran Hakim, the nearer we are getting to Imam Zamana Ajjalallahu Ta'ala Sharif. There is no other way to connect to Imam Zaman alayhi salam other than by acting upon Quran Hakim. Because what Imam Zaman alayhi salam wants from us is what is Quran is asking us. And what is Quran asking us is what Imam Zaman alayhi salam wants from us. We can never reach our Imam alayhi salam by ignoring Quran Hakim, by ignoring the facts mentioned in Quran, by ignoring the system Quran is leading us to. Regardless of it referring to the socio-political leadership system or economics or the moral values which Quran Hakim talks about. The only way to get to Imam Zaman alayhi salam, to work for him, to move forward toward him, to be able to do his ziyarah, to be able to witness his beautiful face, to benefit from that light, is Quran Hakim. The reason why it is so much recommended that we should read Quran, we should read beautifully, we should read it slowly, is that we may ponder on it. We may look at it. This is a book, even if you look at it, you get reward. Why? So that you may look at it more often. So that you may, as a human, we all want to get those rewards. This is human nature. We like to get rewards. It's a great attraction for us. But why? So that we can actually read Quran. So that we can actually understand Quran. So that we can actually act upon Quran. Why is that we find that even after Abu Abdullah al-Husayn alayhi salam, he was martyred brutally. His head was taken away from his body. It was raised. But what do we find in our hadith? What do we find in our traditions, in our history? What did people witness from that head? That Natiq-e-Quran, Imam Hussein alayhi salam, even after when he was removed from his body, people heard it reciting Quran Hakim. Why? Why was the head of Imam Hussein alayhi salam reciting Quran? So that we may get attentive toward Quran. So we may get attentive to what Quran is telling us. Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam, they are guides. They want us to be guided. This is what they want from us. We know that Abu Abdullah Hussein alayhi salam, even at the last moments, At Karbala, what was he seeking? He was seeking the guidance of people. He didn't want them to get the wrath of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by martyring the Imam of their time. The Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam are guides. They want us to be guided. And how do they guide us? They guide us with Quran. Quran is the book which was being sent to their grandfather, Hazrat Muhammad Mustafa, Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad wa ajjal farajum. It was Quran. Illa yuha Rasulullah. He wouldn't talk, but Quran. It shows us something that we as believers, we need to focus on Quran. We need to get attentive to our Quran. And the benefit would be that nobody would be able to fool us. Nobody would be able to misguide us. Nobody would be able to tell us that, oh, this is from your Imam, but in reality, it is not. Because when you are someone who's reading Quran, who's benefiting from Quran, then you'll be able to relate every saying of Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam with Quran. You would know that this is actually what my Imam wants from me. This is actually what Imam is saying. Because they don't say anything but Quran. But in case if you're not aware of Quran, in case if you don't even know what Quran has to say, anybody can come in and say, Na'udhu billah, this is what the Imam says. And you may become a fool. And you may end up doing something which is exactly against Imam. You may become the tool of the enemy against Imam alayhi salam. You may become somebody who is going to stand against those people who are working day in and day out to make the path clear for the return of your Mawla, our Mawla Imam Zamana, Ajjalallahu Ta'ala Sharif. We have to associate ourselves with Quran. This is what Imam Rida alayhi salam is saying over here. La tatlubul huda fi ghayr al Quran fatadillu. Don't seek guidance but other than Quran. And if you do so, you're going to be misguided. Look at those people who didn't seek guidance from Quran. Quran clearly told them. Allah is your wali. Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam is your wali. Wa ul amr minkum, the one who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given authority upon you are your wali. They didn't listen to Quran. They didn't seek guidance from Quran. What happened? As per one of the traditions, it is the shahadat of Imam Ali ibn Musa Rida alayhi salam. Gharibul I cannot explain that term. Gharibul Ya Imam Rida alayhi salam. You're the only one who's far away from all your family. In Tus, it's just you. None of your grandfathers, none of your children, nobody is there. The people of your time, Ya Imam Rada, Ya Mawla, they didn't act upon your words. They didn't seek guidance from Quran. They didn't listen to Quran neither, not like a Quran. Assalamu alayka ya Aba al-Hasan ya Ali ibn Musa ayyuha ar-Rida ya ibn Rasulullah ya Hujjat Allah ala khalqih ya Sayyidina wa Mawlana إنا توجعنا واستشفعنا وتوسلنا بك إلى الله وقدمناك بين يدي حاجاتنا يا وجيها عند الله اشف لنا عند الله سلام على آل طه وياسين سلام على آل خير النبي سلام على روضة هل فيها إمام يبائي به الملك والدين يا إمام رضا أبا صلت. He says that he was with Imam Rida alayhi salam. And Imam Rida alayhi salam told him that when he was about to go to Mamun, he said that, Abba Salah, if I return and my Abba is upon my head, don't talk to me. Would mean that I have been poisoned. It would mean that they did what they intended to do. And Imam Rida alayhi salam went inside. And Abu Salat, he says that he was praying that may Imam Rida alayhi salam, when he comes back, his abba is not over his head. Why wouldn't he pray that? Who would want to get away from Imam Rida alayhi salam? Who would want to leave the side of Imam Rida alayhi salam? Who would want to see Imam Rida alayhi salam poisoned? But Abba Salat couldn't do anything. He said, when Imam returned from Mamun, his abba was covering his head. Ya Imam Rida. He says that Imam Rida, he would walk, but he would sit down. I wonder what was happening inside Imam Rida alayhi salam because of that poison. What was that poisoning doing to him? What kind of pain he was getting into that he couldn't walk? He would have to sit down. Then he would walk, he would sit down. Ya Imam Rida, you're so generous, you're so loving. Even in those moments, you're remembering your servants and your slaves. Abba Salat, he says that, when Imam Rida alayhi salam, when he went back to the house, he asked, have everybody eaten? Have my slaves and servants have eaten? And Abu Salat, he said that, no Mawla, in this condition, who can even think of eating? Imam told him to put the sufra, to set the food, call everybody. Imam, in that condition, with that weakness, he sat there. And when everybody dispersed, Abu Salat felt that Imam is feeling very weak. Imam is feeling very weak. When he is taken inside again, Abu Salat, he says that Imam is constantly looking at the door as if he's waiting for someone. And then he realized that Imam's head is on Imam Jawad alayhi salam.
يا غريب الغرباء، يا إمام رضاه. We call upon you, we say that you are غريب الغرباء. Ya Imam Rida, at least in your last moment, even though with that pain and difficulty, your head is on your son's lap, Imam Jafar, but your great grandfather, Abba Abdullah Hussein, on the day of Ashur, when he was on the battlefield of Karbala, it was Imam Sajjad. He wasn't that far, unlike Imam Jafar. He wasn't in Medina, he was just a few steps away. But Ya Abba Abdullah, it wasn't Imam Sajjad, who you could put your head on his lap. It was only the khak of Karbala. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. Radan bi qada'i amri ala la'natullahi ala al-qawm al-zalimi. Ya Allah, by the right of Ali ibn Musa radha alayhi salam, please bless us with the tawfiq that we may understand Quran Hakim better. Ya Allah, we ask you by the right of Muhammad, Ali Muhammad alayhi salam, please hasten in the return of our Mawla Imam Zaman Ajjalallahu Ta'ala Sharif. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad wa ajjal faraj.